What's up, Queen?
Terrific. Health-wise.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we've only got like 13 or 14 minutes, so might as well come out shooting.
Manny, it's a three-game win streak, tied the longest for the season so far. Can you say anything in particular that's gone right in the last three games compared to earlier in the season?
I think we had a few things go right in these three games. Obviously, our pitching, our starters have been pitching well for a while now, our younger kids. I think we played terrific defense on those first two games in Yankee Stadium that we won. And then this one yesterday, we were able to, despite not playing good defense, we finally were able to come up with a big hit in extra innings and snap that 0-for-8, you know, that we had on extra innings. But those kids have been very consistent for the last month or so, and hopefully we can click with the rest of our game.
And you've in the past had a pretty quick hook with your starting pitchers, I think just comparable to other, you know, when you look at other managers, pitch counts and whatnot. I think, you know, looking back to 2007, the bullpen was great. The starters were a weak spot. It seemed to make a lot of sense. This year there's more questions being asked about it with the bullpen problem. Can you just talk a little bit about your, you know, what goes into that? What goes into your thinking kind of when you pull a pitcher?
Yeah, well, the philosophy changes depending on what you have in hand. I think everybody knows that in 2007 we set a record for pitching changes. Obviously, we went to spring training and brought in 12 guys to compete for four spots. So we didn't have the strongest rotation, and we had also our bullpen. The back end of it was covered, but the middle guys were still, you know, a lot of guys that were in either AAA guys or guys that, you know, were kind of projects for us. So we had to do what we had to do back then. What we do is now that we have the young kids, and even we did it started in 2007, guys are our first year in the big leagues, younger guys. We try to give them an opportunity to come out of the game on a positive note. I mean, it is not so much about pitch counts. I don't go about pitch counts so much. You don't let a guy out there because he has to throw 100 pitches, so people say, well, he went 100 pitches, and you let him give up 8, 12 runs. What I try to do is win the ball game and take in consideration if a kid is really young, give him an opportunity to come out of the game where he can only either tie or win the ball game. The younger guys that we have now in the rotation, we have to be very careful with the pitch count, too. If you guys pay attention to Zimmerman's start over there in Tampa, he came out of the game with like 91, 92 pitches. Well, we had just skipped him one time because he had some fatigue on his elbow. So obviously you can't send him out there and throw 120 pitches just because I wanted to have 17 wins, you know, and we have to take care of these kids. My main thing is trying to win the ball game, and pitch count, it doesn't go on my mind at all. Stanman, he didn't have that many pitches the other day in Yankee Stadium, but, I mean, the kid pitched good enough that I think he deserved to get out of the game with only a shot to win in the game and not stay out there a couple of more hitters and then give up a long ball in that small ballpark and come with his confidence shot. I can leave a guy out there for 120 pitches if he's pitching good enough, and I think he's going to win me the ball game. So pitch count, to me, it's just it's something that it's out there. I just want to win the ball game, and if you're pitching well and you have to go 120, you'll go out there. If I think guys have seen you 3-4 times and they are making adjustments on you and you're starting to elevate the ball, and I have a guy fresh out of the bullpen who the hitter hasn't seen and has a chance to preserve the victory for us, we'll do it. And in the past, I think what helped us to go quicker to our bullpen was the fact that we had Saul, Rauch, and Cordero. They were pretty good. They used to cover us for about 3 innings. So that's why in the past we were a little bit quicker to go to the pen.
What are you going to do with Olson when he comes back?
We're going to be inserting him into the rotation.
He's going to go one more outing in AAA because he did throw 80-something pitches yesterday, but our AAA coaching staff felt that –
you know, he's still not ready to come up here and compete. He needs one more start because he's scattered the strike zone a little bit. But he's going to come in. It's going to be a tough and maybe unpopular decision because one of those kids is probably going to have to go down to Syracuse. But, you know, that's the way the game works. And these guys are just going to go to AAA, get some experience, and come back up here. I think all of you guys know that at some point there are a few of these kids that are going to be shut down or not completely shut down, but at least have some type of control in their amount of innings they're throwing. We did that to John Lennon, I don't know if you guys remember, 2 years ago, and we're going to continue to do it because these guys are just, they're too important, and they're going to be part of the long-term future here, and we have to protect them.
I mean, since you've been here, you've never really had a real center fielder that you can consistently depend on. What do you think, in the short term, is there any solution for this, or is there anyone in the long term?
Long term, yes, we do have Bernardino and Maxwell. There are two right now bona fide center fielders, and those are the type of things that people sometimes don't understand. It's not that anybody in here didn't know from the beginning that the Lastins or the Elijah Dukes are not natural center fielders, but those were the guys that we have here, and they're young enough, and we felt that they could make progress and play center field for us. That's until a guy like Maxwell takes off, or a guy like Bernardino. Those are the legit center fielder. That's what you do, you know, when you're rebuilding and you have to go through some of those growing pains. I mean, unless you go out, we went out there 2 years ago and brought in a legit center fielder. This is what we had to do. We felt that it was better to let Bernardino and Maxwell develop in the minor leagues, then have them up here just for the sake that they can catch every fly ball, while we could, you know, survive with Millage and Dukes. He's already walking without that crutches, and he looks good. We're just still gonna have to wait until he has to put pressure on that ankle because you know all your weight goes on it. So we're gonna be very cautious with him and see how he can. He can bounce back because he's a guy who relies a lot on his speed, and that's something that we're going to have to see if he's going to be able to recuperate 100%. Yeah, the plan for him is it's at least give him 1 or 2 days of baseball activities here until he's ready to play. Let's, you know, we have to be clear on this. I mean, Josh was not over there doing baseball stuff. I mean, it was a pretty serious stuff, and it's very tough. This is the big leagues, and I know that a lot of people like to use the, you know, this is like riding a bike. It is not. I mean, you just can't be away from the baseball field for 6 days and then come in and step in, face major league pitching, and be at your best. So we'll take a look at him today. We're going to talk to him and have him take some swings, do some stuff, and if he feels good enough, maybe give him a pinch hit appearance so he can see some pitches today and tomorrow and go from there.
When you were first hired, one of the things you talked about that I totally agreed with was how for stolen bases, it makes sense you got to be up over 70% success rate. The last 2 years, though, we've been more in the low 60s than the low 60s. What's going wrong there, do you think?
You just don't have the guys with that blazing speed to have that success rate. I mean, we have to be honest. I mean, I told people over and over and over that talked about that we don't run enough. Well, if you bring me Jose Reyes and Hanley Ramirez and Willie Taveras and Nigel Morgan Pittsburgh, I'd run you out of the ballpark because I know that those guys can run and they'll make it. And you just got to be, you know, I'm very optimistic, but you got to be realistic too. We just don't have them here. Most of the guys that can run a little bit in our club, they have had green lights in some here. That's the way I manage. I give the guys green light. But, you know, it just to me doesn't make any sense to be running just so 30,000 people are saying, well, he's aggressive. Yeah, but guys are getting thrown out left and right. And there's 27 outs, and they're precious. And I know that you guys being involved in what you do, you do a lot of research and stuff, but the average guy at home still doesn't go out of his way to understand that just running into outs is not, it's not good. You just don't run to run. You just don't bunt to bunt. You run and you bunt when it makes sense, and that's the way I do things. I don't think we have the guys right now in our ball club to, you know, to have three or four guys say that they can steal 30, 40 bases, to be honest with you. And so you have to manage accordingly to what you have. You know, if I had those guys that I just mentioned to you, we're probably going to be running crazy. I don't have them, so I really have to take care of those 27 outs. Really rely a lot on scouting reports and my stopwatch and when do we have a really chance to be safe when we steal and hit and run and stuff. This team this year is different than the one last year offensively. Last year I could do pretty much nothing when it comes down to running, because last year if you had Ryan Zimmerman hitting third and most of the year we had Lassie Millich hitting fourth or Jesus Flores. If you, let's say, you bunt Guzman and have a guy move over to second base, now they're not going to pitch to Zimmerman. They're just going to walk him and deal with one of the rookie guys. Same thing doing with the hit-and-run stuff. If you're hit-and-running, you know, Zimmerman or Lastin last year, then those are the only bats you have in the lineup, and you're forcing them to swing the bat whatever the pitch is. So it's not only me. I think every manager in the big leagues, they'll probably just manage according to what they have. Matt Chico is doing very well. He actually pitched well yesterday in A ball, and that's another thing that, you know, it's looming for us in the future, is that when Chico's ready, we're going to have to monitor his innings too, and we're going to have to make the decision of, are we going to let him just keep on pitching this year and use those innings, or are we going to monitor him better and then, you know, allow him to come to camp next year ready to go. If you ask him, obviously, he will want to be here, and our goal is probably to have him to be one of those guys late in the year that can come over and take over some of these kids that we're going to shut down. And we do have a good group of guys down there that could probably, you know, fit that description. Be Ballester, be Chico if he, you know, finishes his rehab and he's strong. And Mark, who's starting now and throwing the ball well down there, so that's encouraging to me.
Probably only have time for one more.
I got time.
I know, but we've got other appointments.
How about Hayden Flores? When do we expect to see
him? We really don't want to put pressure on Flo, and really don't want to mention any dates. You know, I think the safest date to see Flores will be September. But if you start dropping dates on him, he might push himself a little bit, and we don't want that because we know how valuable he is to us, not only for this year, but for years to come. So we don't even talk about him coming back. That's why it's not even out there. And, you know, and we miss him dearly because
he's a good
player.
One more, real
quick,
somebody.
Yes.
Before you walk in, Adam Dunn talked about how he thinks you guys are turning – not his words, but turning the corners, trying to play better defense, better pitching, and you're primed for a good second half. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel he's being, you know, very positive about that, and he does it month to month, and you know, he fits what we preach over here, and it's not a secret. I mean, none of us were anticipating this to happen. Now, let's be clear on something here. Spring training sometimes is not the best time to judge different things. For instance, I was talking to some of our beat writers earlier in the week. When you're in spring training and our outfielders play five innings or six, and you win in the ball game, and those guys don't play the full amount of innings, and then you take those guys out of the game, and then you put Bernardina and Maxwell and Corey Patterson back there, and everybody catches a fly ball and the game is over, you don't get to see what we've been able to see this season, the problem that we have defensively. And that's something that, you know, spring training is not a good time to judge. But that being said, you cannot throw everybody out there for nine innings from day one in spring training. I think everybody knows that we had some defensive problems overall. I think if any one of you guys, it's really familiar and comes around, and the beat writers or whoever are around knows that it is not because of lack of work. because I challenge you to get any team in the major leagues to take more infield than we do and to work on fundamentals like we do. But that being said, things haven't worked out, and sometimes, you know, it goes farther than the work habits. And so we just need to keep on working, and hopefully we can realign everything and things start to get better. Never anticipated this to happen. Never. And if you look at what's going on, some of the guys that haven't played good defense are supposed to be good defensive players too. So, I don't know. I'll give you one more as a bonus.
What's your question?
Yeah.
You've seen Ryan Zimmerman for 3 years, 6 months out of every year. From 2007 to now, what's the difference there? Other than just
And his game, it's maturity overall, Jeff. It's maturity overall in every part of his game. I think he's, even right now when he's scuffling a little bit at the plate, it's his patience at the plate. Because when I first got over here in 2007, I talked to Ryan over and over and over how he used to fall into the opposition's plan. Okay, they try to take away his power by just throwing the ball low and away. We were playing an RFK. He, you know, he felt he could still handle it, hit a long fly ball in RFK that was an out. In his defense, the first 2 years that that I was here, he didn't have any real, you know, fearful guy hitting behind him that could protect him. So he felt like a lot of times he had to do it. So now he's just patient. Now he walks more. He doesn't fall so much into the pitcher's plan and going the other way, certain counts. Also, when it comes to his personality, he seems to me the same. I mean, I never seen anybody so mature for, you know, for that age. And that's something that we keep talking to him about, you know, if he needs to be more vocal or if he needs to be, you know, more in charge of certain things. Feel free, because I've never been around anybody that young that command that much respect.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Sorry, I could have spent more time, but
appreciate spending it all. Thank you. Coach is going to take you all on an in-depth tour of the ballpark, and we'll meet you out of that.